This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning, and coming into the studio with a bang, we also have Kusu Chuang with
us. Hello.
Welcome,
we're two months away from the end of the decade. Do you guys realize that?
Oh, wow. End of the decade.
Yes, the end of the decade.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Remember the big hoo-ha we had about, oh, it's the year 2000, oh, it's the 21st century. Well, the first 10 years are nearly up.
Kusu Chuang, instead of normally coming in with a cheerful note, you kind of semi-depressed me because the decade is over. Right? Where did 10 years go?
Well, if you feel bad, imagine how I feel, okay? So, because I will always be older than you, always.
Just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit, okay?
It's still measured in years, like, not minutes.
You're so sad.
Better years than minutes and seconds. Yes. And now we are also this morning going to be looking at how the markets are doing on this first day of November. So actually, US stocks overnight fell as weak manufacturing data and renewed concern on trade rattled markets adjusting to the Federal Reserve signal that it's done easing. Now, Chinese officials are casting doubts about reaching a comprehensive long-term trade deal with the US, even as the two sides get closer to signaling a phase one agreement.
The same Chinese officials have also warned that they won't budge on the thorniest issues as they remain concerned about Donald Trump's impulsive nature. And that's something we could have told them that 2 years ago.
I mean, impulsive nature is a bit of an understatement there. Mm.
And he's tweeting habits, if you ask me. I mean, that's really a sign of that impulsive nature, right? And there is, of course, that risk that he may back out of even a limited deal both sides say they want in the coming weeks. So unsurprisingly, the Dow closed 0.5% lower, S&P dropped 0.3%, and the Nasdaq was down 0.1%.
Asian shares, though, jumped to a three-month high, and the dollar fell broadly after the Fed cut interest rates as expected and U.S. Treasury yields declined. Now, the Nikkei rose 0.4%, but the Shanghai Composite dropped 0.4%.
Meanwhile, the Hang Seng jumped nearly 1%. The Singapore Straits Times Index rose 0.7%. And the FBM KLCI, I wouldn't call it soared, but 1.1% for Malaysia in recent months. Yeah, it is a soar.
Well, that's because it's month-end, guys. So there's always a little bit of closing on the last day of the trading month.
They're putting the mannequins out, right? They're dressing the mannequins.
Yeah.
So for more on markets this morning, we have on the line with us Carlos Casanova, Chief Asian Economist at COFAS in Hong Kong. Thank you for joining us, Carlos. Now, Presidents Trump and Xi Jinping were supposed to meet in Santiago to sign phase one of a trade deal, but with the meeting cancelled due to protests in the Chilean capital, will this impact the current positive sentiment, or is it just a temporary setback to a possible resolution of the trade war?
Good morning. So I think the reason why a lot of the market sentiment was quite optimistic is because it's very small window of opportunity, in the sense that we really are in the middle of soybean season in the United States. There are two big seasons globally. I mean, this market is very fragmented. You have about 90% of all of China's soybean coming from the U.S. and Brazil. Now, most of U.S. exports are in Q4, while Brazil's exports, being in the southern hemisphere, are in Q2. This is why Trump has so much pressure from the farmers to achieve a mini deal. But of course, time is really running out, and with that meeting canceled, it seems like both sides are not very communicative in terms of what they are expecting from the deal. In fact, there are quite some discrepancies in what both sides are saying, which is, of course, very bad news for the market. So on the Chinese side, they've agreed to increase purchases as part of that supposed phase one, only if Trump decides to cancel upcoming tariffs on all of China's remaining exports to the U.S., which are due December 15th. So again, very little time there. And then that figure can potentially be increased to 40 to 50 billion U.S. dollars. Mind you, that's almost like three times what China is importing right now from the U.S. So it will be quite difficult to meet this quota. Something really big, a really big concession on the U.S. side needs to take place in order for this to happen. And the Chinese side have argued that what needs to happen is that U.S. has to basically backtrack on all of the tariffs that it has imposed in China in the past 2 years. So it's rather unlikely that that comprehensive agreement will take place. And then for phase one, we really are running out of time. So definitely it will be no good news for the markets this time around.
Okay, Carlos, and Hong Kong, it's careened into a recession following a 3.2% drop in GDP in the Q3. What's your sense of the direction of the economic situation in Hong Kong? Is it better or worse from here on in?
Well, there are two main factors that are driving this deceleration in activity in Hong Kong. The first one, of course, is the U.S.-China trade war. Hong Kong is a big re-exporter of Chinese goods to many parts of the world, but especially to the U.S. So that's dragging on activity. The second thing, of course, is protests having an impact on domestic demand, both in terms of consumption and investment. Now, both of these two factors remain in place. We still don't have a resolution to the U.S.-China trade war, and protests are ongoing. So that signals that there will be a continuation in weakness in Hong Kong activity. The figures of Q3 are so bad that we are now for sure looking at negative growth for 2019. So the real question is, will this weakness continue beyond the first half of 2020? That's what really we are discussing at the moment. Will this weakness extend into the second half of next year?
And Carlos, meanwhile, Taiwan surprised everyone because it fared better than its East Asian peers this quarter and raised its full-year GDP from 2.46% to 2.53%. So tell us what accounts for this positive performance?
Yes, very striking difference with Hong Kong there, with one economy expanding by minus 2.9% year-on-year, the other one growing by plus 2.9% year-on-year. So very busy day yesterday for all economists in the region. For Taiwan, I would like to say that we are seeing an increase in investment as a result of supply chain shifting out of China, but we're not seeing that yet, although that will be a contributing factor going forward. The Q3 figures were mostly better on higher government spending, which is something that Hong Kong has been very sort of slow to implement so far, so that's not benefiting them. In Taiwan, of course, we've also seen a pickup in exports, so they've been relatively shielded from weaker demand globally because they've been able to substitute some of Chinese exports to the U.S. with Taiwanese exports to the U.S. Just because the production was there, they were able to just increase capacity outputs in a lot of the factories there and sort of benefit from that shifting in demand from the U.S. out of China towards Taiwan. Going forward, of course, we have seen an increase in FDI, so I believe that we will see that investment part of the equation contributing to even faster growth in Taiwan as some of the supply chains shift from places like Shenzhen back into Taiwan.
Thank you very much, Carlos. And that was Carlos Casanova of COFAS in Hong Kong with his thoughts on Taiwan, Hong Kong, as well as the current state of the U.S.-China trade war. But speaking of the U.S., earnings season is still ongoing over there. And Kraft reported a third quarter profit that beat estimates yesterday. This profit came amid higher prices for items like macaroni and cheese, cold cuts and cream cheese in the U.S. And they, Kraft, joined a slew of consumer goods companies in hiking prices in the recent quarters. The sales also outpaced analyst estimates, but still declined from a year earlier.
And all this despite this momentum behind imitation cheese and meat substitutes, right, which you discussing an hour ago. Sales, as you say, outpaced estimates, but still declined from a year earlier, year on year, underscoring the challenge that they face as consumers abandon established brands for upstarts and new competitors. Meanwhile, Pinterest, you know, I think it's a photo album kind of thing, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sort of an aggregator.
Do you guys use it?
I do.
Yeah.
So well, it's useful for things like inspirations and decorations and crafts,
wallpaper,
which I
right?
do.
Yeah.
Not crafts. Wallpapers.
Well, they also had earnings. Third quarter revenue fell short of analyst projections. They are described as a digital search and scrapbooking company, and they added users primarily in less lucrative international markets. Wonder which international markets those are.
Maybe us.
Maybe.
But yeah, anyway, shares dropped by as much as 21% in extended trading and revenue was only about $280 million, just slightly below the $282 million average analyst estimated compiled by Bloomberg. But markets were not happy because I think there was a lot of expectations with regards to this company in terms of growing overseas users. And unfortunately, these overseas users also generate less revenue than those in the U.S.
Now, aside from that, Samsung also posted better than expected earnings and projected a gradual recovery in the memory chip market in 2020 as a fifth generation wireless technology rolls out globally. So shares in Samsung climbed as much as 2% after it posted net income of $5.2 billion for the September quarter. And not forgetting that Samsung reported a 56% slump in operating profit earlier this month, they've said that they expect their memory chip demand to gradually climb out of the current funk in the fourth quarter and bounce back next year.
Wow, 56% slump in operating profit is quite significant. Okay, meanwhile, in US consumer spending, now that particular metric increased marginally in September while wages were unchanged. And that's apparently going to cast doubts on consumers' ability to continue driving the economy amid a deepening slump in investment business investment. Now, this report from the US Commerce Department also showed that inflation was muted last month. And this data came a day after the Fed cut rates for the third time this year.
Yeah, I think the street is expecting maybe no more cuts for the year, and the next cut will probably be in 2020. Meanwhile, in other corporate news, Peugeot, I'm sure Chuang's going to criticize
Peugeot,
and Fiat Chrysler have confirmed their intention to merge yesterday and what would be a 50-50 share swap and create actually the world's fourth largest car maker. Now, the new company shares will be listed in New York, Paris, and Milan. The whole purpose of this is to create an industry behemoth with 8.7 million vehicle sales, $190 billion in turnover, and a combined 400,000 employees. I mean, it's going to fight with VW, which is currently Europe's largest car maker, isn't it?
Yeah, not all car mergers do well. I mean, remember the Daimler Chrysler one, the most expensive at the time, and the one that collapsed. Also, the Renault-Nissan partnership, which also was rent asunder by Mr. Gosen's how would you describe it?
Misbehavior,
that's right. Meanwhile, talking about misbehavior, the Trump impeachment goes on untrammeled. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a resolution to formally proceed with impeachment inquiries against Donald Trump himself. And this measure details how this inquiry will move into a more public phase.
Yeah, so not a vote yet on whether the president should be removed from office, but nevertheless, very, very fascinating to watch. But right now, we are heading into a few messages, and then we'll be back with more local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.